Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Thank you, Reverend. Welcome, congregation, to our weekly time of reflection together. Sinners reveal their deepest trespasses. To be judged, pick it up a bit, to be judged by the Confessional Collective and the Nation. On this here Confessions podcast, brought to you by the jolly good people at Greatest Hits Radio, that's us. Very strict Sister Susie's in the pub.
I am indeed.
Lenient gutter dweller Brother Matthew is here, of course.
Yes, of course, as per.
And coming up, Matt shares his feelings about sleepwear.
What on earth is this thing about being in bed naked? Makes that, and particularly when you've got guests. But anyway, it's far too fanciful and continental for my taste to be in bed naked.
It's a very strange detour that you took. What's it got to do with the continent?
Well, it is very continental, isn't it? It's what all of our cousins over the channel do, a lot of that, don't they? Sleeping naked. I've always thought it was a little bit too desperate and look at me.
Looking, coming very close to Alan Partridge.
Yeah. Oh, that's... boat's already sailed, I think.
We visit the parish notice board to find out the goings-on in the congregation this week, and we add to the list of shame more confessions very unsuitable for broadcast. Going to dust off a CB radio for the confession from the crypt, and you'll also get to hear this week's confessions from the Drive Time show here in the studios of Greatest Hits Radio. There is a live show, by the way, Monday to Friday, 4 till 7.
Yeah.
Anyway, the confessions this week include Simon's fake accent facade, words don't come easy. It wasn't a fake accent.
It's very, very good accents, I thought,
Not you, Simon, the confession.
Okay. I just felt a little bit victimised there.
Took that too seriously. Yeah.
Getting needy. Martin's nighttime shuffle story, The Bed's Too Big, With or Without You. Thomas's confession, Brothers in Arms. But first, it's Nanny Carr's sippy cup story. There's no one quite like Grandma.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Confession sent in by Nanny Carr. Thank you, Nanny Carr. Simon and the Forgiving Collective. So another smart speaker, obviously handed out to Nanny Carr. My name is Nanny Carr, and I would first like to say this. I love my grandchildren. They are polite, inquisitive, kind, caring, and very funny.
Okay.
Mitigating circumstances.
Yeah, I think so.
My confession dates back to August 2017. I think a 12 certificate on this.
Ooh.
Just, but not because it's particularly racy, but you'll see why.
Okay.
One of my grandchildren was interested in amateur dramatics, a bit like her mother. I paid for a two-week course, at the end of which they were to perform a Disney classic on stage. My very talented grandchild had various roles in the chorus. A princess, a cook, a lobster, a maid. You get the picture.
Yeah.
Okay. My daughter was so proud and managed to be first in the queue for the tickets. So we had half the front row consisting of, in order, my husband, my daughter, her husband, three other children, and then, riding shotgun at the end, me, says Nanny Carr. Because of the numbers involved, I always make sure that we're all snacked up before we go anywhere. Sweets that don't make too much noise to open and not too sticky, and of course, drinks. Usually water in what we call our sippy bottles, mine being an especially large size with a strap handle, which I carried with me everywhere. Because we all had our refreshments, half-time only, the interval, but half-time, only consisted of a quick comfort break and then onwards with the second half. And this is when my secret was revealed. To my horror, I could see my husband at the end of the row gesticulating to me. I tried as hard as I could to ignore him, but I could see in the corner of my eye he was whispering to my daughter. She then turned to her husband, who in turn sent the message down the line.
Oh,
and the message was this: can I have a drink of your water? The answer, like Chinese whispers, went back down the line, no. Why not? The message came back down the line. My answer, back down the line, because you're driving.
Oh.
When this reply was passed to my daughter, she duly passed the message on. Also, the penny dropped right into the slot. Her head spun round and I could see the red mist descending like a cloud. We managed to get to the end of the performance with much applause and standing ovations for the actors, and I tried to get away before the tirade, but with no success. She rushed towards me in the foyer. Your sippy bottle! Your sippy bottle! Was all she could say. Her husband was comforting her, as he also knew the significance of what I'd said. All this time, I thought you were just keeping yourself sensibly hydrated, drinking your 6 litres a day or whatever it is the guidelines say. But I also assumed it was water you were drinking, H2O like the rest of us. Of course, Father Simon, my cup, my sippy cup, held gin and tonic, if I remember. A good quality gin and also a slice of lime.
Oh.
Nice. By then, she was also pointing out the other circumstances I had been seen hydrating. School assemblies, nativity plays, carol concerts, school plays, sports days. Father Simon, you'd be amazed at what a sippy bottle can hold. 5 or 6 gins and tonics, and also 3/4 of a bottle of wine.
Oh.
Always
okay.
Drink responsibly.
Yeah, obviously.
In my defence, I would like to add that when I attended my own children's events, I was as sober as a judge. But I'd done my time. Grandchildren are different.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask forgiveness for myself. Just 2 weeks ago, I attended a local committee meeting and my sippy bottle had pride of place on the table. White wine this time.
Yeah.
My son-in-law actively encourages me not to forget sippy bottle, especially with things like visiting petting zoos, ballparks and christenings.
Ugh.
I ask forgiveness for upsetting my daughter as she never thought of using her water bottle with such imagination. I think lockdown helped her follow my lead when school parents meetings were being zoomed, and with our 4 school-aged children, that's where her sippy bottle came to the fore. She's now seldom seen without it. Her husband does the driving. My soul feels lighter already. Obviously, always drink responsibly and stick to...
Yes.
Also, this might be redundant, this bit. Stick to the units allowed for your age and sex. See your GP for details.
I mean, nice try.
Yeah, I mean, added in desperation at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe the desperation is to try and get Sister Susie's forgiveness. Let's see what she says. And of course, she's speaking to us from the pub.
Well, Nanny Carr, I have to say, I think this is a genius idea, and the fact that you got away with it for so long, I think, is pretty good. And I think a gin and tonic in a very appropriate places, there's nothing wrong with that. I would like you to have it in a pub rather than just in a committee meeting, but hey, you know,
I suspect it wasn't one gin and tonic in the sippy bottle.
No, it wasn't.
It's
was
a bank holiday.
Oh, you're going to forgive? Okay. Brother Matthew.
I'm definitely going to forgive because, frankly, there's no other way of getting through Disney Amdram than having a very large gin and tonic to keep you going. Oh, my goodness, they're doing Frozen again. I have nothing to forgive. And having to get through committee meetings and everything else. Ugh. Dear, oh dear.
Yes, committee meetings,
carols,
petting zoos, ballparks and christenings.
No way. No, you can only do that with either a Sauvignon Blanc or a rather larger gin and tonic.
Is that right? That's the top
right.
advice.
Yeah.
Responsibly, though.
Okay. Obviously do it responsibly.
And don't exceed the units allowed per week.
Unless you really have to. But no, don't do that.
I don't think unless you really have to is actually part of the advice.
Me? Oh, right. I thought that was on the thing.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I now have noticed that I look at people with a water bottle, as indeed I've got one here.
Yeah.
And,
judge them.
I mean, H2O. But
yes.
No one else knows that.
No, that's true.
You kind of assume that someone is hydrating themselves.
It is a modern thing, isn't it, that we've all got these bottles now, because obviously we're all very environmentally sensitive, and so we all have our reusable bottles, but there could be anything in there.
Yes. Well, it never occurred to me before, so I think we're disappearing down a very, very dark hole. Extra people's verdict here. I think this is from Sharon and Trev in Folkestone. My husband and I, in principle, forgive. However, we do have questions around the times of assemblies, committee meetings and events.
We've got questions about those, have we?
If Nanny Carr is taking her sippy bottle to an assembly at 9:30 in the morning, then maybe she doesn't.
Oh, that's true, because she did say that, you know, yes, because assemblies are always in the morning, aren't they?
That is true, yes.
And you don't need a sippy bottle then.
Well,
come on, Nanny Carr.
Depends how bad the assembly is, but yes. No, that's true.
But nowadays the assembly is just, should we have a quiz?
You know, is that what it is
yes.
now?
Hands up really? Who likes football.
It's not that, what?
Well, it used to be like... Him practice.
Yes, it did.
And
yes.
Rigorous talks from the Bible. But now it's, shall we tell a joke together?
Rigorous talks from the Bible. I love it. Now.
Well, I'm... Anyway, they don't do that in Denmark.
No.
Over to the parish notice board. Matt, are we still getting 5-star reviews?
Well, we are. And as you know, the only way of getting your review read out on this podcast is by leaving us a 5-star reviews. And so therefore, Ian S. has left us a 5-star one on our tube saying, Dear Simon, Susie, Holly and Matt, I have listened to Confessions for years and could not believe my luck when the podcast returned earlier in the year.
Right.
I listen every evening as I drive a school minibus, taking the students home from lessons. And although I am of senior years, after sharing my love confessions, I am now on the cool list with the kids. So thanks for that.
Yes.
Roll on Fridays when the podcast comes out. A whopping 5 stars
from
Ian S. Lizzie B. 202.
She's a bot.
She's definitely a bot. says 5 stars. Love the show, guys. Often listen when walking and can't help giggling. People often look at me like I'm mad, but it's worth it. Keep up the great work.
Nudes in profile.
No nudes in profile. Samuel Taylor says, I mean, really, we should point out that came up last week. There's nothing else going on. Anyway, Samuel Taylor says, what have we done to deserve this? Can't believe we've been graced again with your presence in podcast form. I have been secretly subscribing my friends since, but I'm not asking for forgiveness for that. And they also give you 5-star reviews. So that's something like 25 stars now. Brother Matt's gutter should be a national landmark. Hear, hear, say I to Samuel Taylor. And remember, if you want to get a shout out on the pod, then you need to make sure you leave us a review of 5 stars.
Or more.
Or more if your platform allows.
I gather we're still getting correspondence from disgruntled children whose injuries have been ignored after Sassy's confession a few weeks ago.
Yes, we've had this in from Steve. He said, Hi, Simon, Matt and the great team. Sassy's confession had quite a resonance with me. Many years ago when I was 4, I was standing on my big sister's bed trying to steal some chocolates from the top of her chest of drawers. I fell off the bed and landed on my outstretched arm.
Oh.
My shoulder was hurting, but my mum said, that's what happens to naughty boys.
Yep.
My shoulder continued to hurt, but my mum continued to ignore it. Several days later, mum and I were next door. I was playing with my friend Gavin, and mum was having a coffee with his parents. Gavin's father also happened to be our doctor. After some time, he asked my mum if I was left-handed. Mum said I wasn't, and he asked whether I'd hurt my right arm, and mum told him the story. He called me in to examine me, and he was surprised that this happened 5 days previously, as I'd snapped my collarbone in two.
Oh my goodness me.
Wow. Ouch. Wow. So I too have been the victim of a broken bone ignoring mum.
Well, well done for getting through it. Bit of stiff upper lip there. Just a snapped collarbone. Still powered through it, didn't you, for 5 days? Good for you.
It's like, is it Bert Trautmann in the cup final? The Man
yes,
City
it is.
Goalkeeper
exactly.
who carried on playing with a broken neck.
Exactly, the spirit of Bert Trautmann there. Well done.
Broken neck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Broke his neck making a save. You
yes.
think he collided with the post.
Correct, yeah.
Broke his neck but carried on playing. Because it wasn't a badly broken neck.
It was just...
It was a broken neck.
It was a broken neck.
Yeah.
Well done, Steve.
Yes. So, Matt, you have some interesting information, I think, regarding the secret code phrase.
Yes, Ryan got in touch to say, Your Eminence and the Angelic Collective, I wanted to draw your attention to an accessibility feature that a certain fruit-based device has introduced on the latest update, and one Spotify has too, which is a transcript feature.
Yes.
As a result, a listener could, not that I ever would, nor do I believe that any member of the congregation would either, at the start of the episode, once playing or even by looking at the episode information before playing, view the automatically generated transcript and find the secret transcript phrase almost immediately as said transcript is searchable. So basically what they're saying is you can tap on the transcript, you put in the word secret, and it'll come up straight away with the secret phrase. I appreciate this is just a bit of fun, and there's no prize associated with being the first to respond with the phrase, bar bragging rights, but I thought it was my duty to let you know, love the podcast, hashtag things and emojis. So, yes, thanks, Ryan, for the transcript knowledge there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to... He's in so desperate hurry to find out.
No, I think there will be.
Code word is.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, all the smart people do it on Blue Sky.
On your Blue Sky, don't they?
They're the ones that are just
red hot. They are so good.
Any thoughts or feelings or emotions at all?
please do let us know your emotions.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Quick couple of mentions to Bill Pickard, Julie Lee, Sarah Gray, who were amongst those who tweeted and Blue Skied the secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, what's that in the fairy liquid?
Oof.
To which the answer was we.
Yes.
Anyway, keep listening to the end of this podcast to hear this week's secret code phrase as created by Brother Matt, or just go on the transcript feature.
Go on the transcript now.
Yeah, find it
now.
Because Susie and I don't know what it is because we haven't got there yet.
No.
So you'll know before us. Anyway, it's time for the not-for-broadcast roll of shame, where you can shake your head, in Susie's case, or snigger, in Matt's case.
Mm-hmm.
Starting this week with Emma. Emma, I know that you were taking your new manager role quite seriously at the start, but things got a bit lackadaisical on day 15 with your role of checking the portaloo in the morning, didn't it? You fancied spicing up your usual routine of knocking on the door and asking anyone there politely. Instead, you delivered a kung fu kick, declaring, I'm the manager, loudly.
Oh,
the metal door flies open with a loud bang, and there you found frozen tableau of the slightly overweight middle-aged plumber stooped over with his trousers at half-mast.
Oh, my goodness.
Clutching a wad of loo roll, eyes wide with shock.
What?
Staring out horrified, which was a sight certainly not to be repeated at tea time. And
I mean, that's very good. Why can't we play? We should be able to use that one. I mean, all she's done is, you know, karate kick the door. I mean, obviously he was upset, but...
I think it's naked...
We've done far worse than that, surely.
Bottom...
Naked bottom?
Wiping.
Naked bottom wiping.
I don't want wipey bottom stories. and Barry. Barry, yes, you. It was probably enough that you entered a Turkish bath naked without checking if you needed to wear swimwear before you went in. However, it got worse when you started chatting to a lady who was wearing a bikini in the sauna. When they came to get you and your wife, they assumed, for your soaping. Oh, my goodness me.
What?
You both got up and followed the man, but she ended up having to sit next to you and watch whilst your towel was removed and your naked body was soaped.
What is going on here?
This is abroad again,
yeah,
Matt.
It is. It is. Yes. It's going to be continental, isn't it?
It's continental.
You then had to spend the rest of the holiday avoiding this woman, as you didn't want her actual wife, who was relaxing by the pool the whole time, to find out what had happened. Just not acceptable.
So again,
what's... naked with a woman in a bikini.
But he thought he was going into a Turkish bath, didn't he? With his,
he was in a Turkish bath, but you don't have to be naked for a Turkish bath.
No, I'm pretty sure you do. Saw it in saw it in that. What's that movie?
What's
Eastern all this Promises? The one with your man.
Your recall of facts.
Yes.
Is, are you talking about Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah, the man from Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Him. Also, what is this about being a soaping?
Soaping? No, yes. I've not heard of that in the Turkish baths.
I mean, by all, you know, a sauna? Yes, I like that.
Yeah.
Steam room? Yes, I like that.
Yes.
A massage if you want one.
No.
I don't need to be soaped.
No, don't need that. Plenty of that at home.
Really?
With soap. I mean, anyway. What? I don't know how that's suddenly crude, but anyway.
Well, they come round to your house.
No. I'm saying that I have soap in my house.
Getting back to those that did make the cut. Simon's, it's another Simon. Simon's tale full of fake accents and lies. Words don't come easy.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Today's confession, a little bit stressy, for reasons that will become apparent.
Oh, really?
It comes from Simon. Father Simon, Sister Susie, Brother from the Gutter, and Holly in the Cupboard. I am now feeling the need to seek forgiveness for a small part of my life that dates back some 22 years.
Wow.
It's the spring of 2002, and I was travelling around Australia. I found myself settled in Sydney. I'm already starting to sweat. So I began to look for work. Well, the dream of getting a bar job on Bondi Beach didn't seem realistic, so instead I spent 6 weeks putting bin liners on women's dresses in the Target factory in a rundown suburb of Redfern. The money wasn't bad, but come on, I didn't come all the way to Australia to do such demeaning work. Well, things took a strange turn on St. Patrick's Night when me and my mates and some Irish friends from my hostel went out for several pints of Guinness. Father Simon, the one thing I clearly need to point out is that I am Bristolian. I am English. My granddad may have come from Cove in Cork, but I am definitely English and speak like a farmer. Oh, how reassuring.
Oh, good.
That's what he says. These are directions.
Excellent. Okay.
As we were frequenting a lot of bars in the Rocks area and city centre of Sydney, we came across a beautiful Irish bar called the Paragon Hotel. It was very hip and young-looking, with lots of lovely ladies inside. Mm. Wow, what a great place this would be to work, I thought. Now, as stated earlier, I was drinking with my Irish buddies. When discussing with them that I thought this would be a grand place to work, they agreed. They did say that, and this may give you a big clue as to where my confession is going, I would stand a much better chance of getting a bar job in the Irish bar if I actually was Irish. Well, Father Simon, I will say that I'm a pretty good person when it comes to accents.
Oh, how fortunate.
And I have some knowledge of Ireland from my late granddad. After a little vocal coaching from my Irish mates, I went up to the bar, saw a lovely girl working there, and said in my finest Southern Irish accent, which I would like you to do, please, Father Simon. Is your manager around at all? At all.
Oh, dear.
Please.
Oh, dear.
Sure, mate, says the Australian girl.
Oh, he had the Aussie accent as well.
Oh, nice.
A few minutes later, out came a big, tall, strapping Australian guy in his late 40s with the receding hair and a big beer belly. Reminded a bit of Al Stewart from Home and Away. Australian accent, please, Father Simon. G'day, can I help you, mate? Irish accent. Have you got any jobs going here at all, at all?
At
please.
All. Oh, no.
Well, look, I'm just... Well, the conversation soon went to the next level and I was in his office. Father Simon, the lies were spurting out of my mouth like someone on an episode of Traitors. I told him I was from Cove and by working in an Irish bar, it would make me feel as though I was at home, all in a very good Irish accent. He seemed a very nice guy and offered me a job there and then. I would start in a couple of days for a trial shift. Well, got back to my Irish mates and they were in absolute hysterics, but mightily impressed also. A great night was had and we toasted St. Patrick into the early hours. The next day was all a bit of a blur. I had a dim recollection of the night before until my Irish mates then told me, you do realise you got a job
what?
In the Paragon, so you did.
Of course, yes, so you did, yeah. Oh.
Have I? That's awesome, I replied.
What? Wow.
Sounds like a farmer.
It does, yeah.
Only thing is, they think you're Irish. Well, Father Simon, it may surprise you to know this. Yes, I did go to the trial shift and introduce myself as Simon from Cove in Cork. Yes, I had to speak in an Irish accent. Yes, all the other staff there totally believed me and bought it. So far, so good. But Father Simon, I loved this bar so much, I worked there for 5 months.
Wow.
For 5 months, whenever I went there, I had to speak in that amazing Irish accent of mine. I had to keep this up for 5 lots of 8-hour shifts a week. I even dated a girl from the bar for a while, and you've guessed it, even spoke in an Irish accent when I was going out with her.
What?
There was no going back. If she or the other staff knew I'd been lying all this time, they would find it very strange and deceitful. I would get home to my flat in Darling Harbour, which I shared with my English mates, and tell them if she was coming round, I'd have to be speaking in an Irish accent. They, of course, found it hilarious, and fair play for them for going along with it at the time. After 5 months of working there, it was time for me and my mates to depart Sydney and head up the East Coast. It felt so lovely to be myself and revert back to my Bristolian accent. Luckily for me, there was no social media, so my lies went with me, and I didn't really contact any of my previous colleagues or indeed the girl I was dating, as to be honest, she got a bit needy.
Oh, of course. Mm. Yeah.
So, Father Simon, I seek forgiveness to all my former colleagues and manager. I was Simon from Bristol. I was never Irish. I spoke with a Bristolian accent and apologised for my deception. To my former girlfriend at the time, who all that time I was living a lie, and that's why I don't confirm your friend requests on social media. Okay, this is ongoing. Once I had gone down that path, there was no going back, and absolutely loved working there. I leave my fate to you. Surely Matt is going to forgive me for this one. Well, you know, I think... Yes, I think he forgives everybody pretty much.
Yeah.
I think Sister Susie will be okay until you... said your girlfriend was needier, then I suspect she might have switched. What do you say, Sister Susie?
Pretty much, Simon. For the pure commitment, I was going to forgive you there. However, the lines, she got a bit needy, therefore switched my mind. So I think that was a bit rude. And also, you know, ignoring her friend request on social media now, there is a repercussion for you. And I just don't think you deserve forgiveness for that alone.
Also on social media, you can... no one's going to know that you're from Bristol and not from Cove.
No.
Anyway, brother from another gutter.
I mean, she may well not have been needy, but she was probably a bit thick if she couldn't work out that he wasn't Irish. After how long were they going out? And she doesn't realise that he's not. He's been putting on an accent the whole time. I think everyone in the Irish bar pretty much knew it, pretty much knew that he was putting on the accent.
So
it was fine. Yeah. And also, doing it for 5 months, there's only so... how many times is he ending every sentence with, so it is, so it is?
I could have kept that up for 5 months.
Really? For 5 months?
Yes.
Really?
I mean, outstanding work, by the way. So I am, just for those accents, I'm going to forgive.
Well, I would like to apologise to Bristolians, all Irish people and all Australians.
Yep.
But, you know, you work with what you've got, which in my case is not very much.
That's true.
I think the accents were fine. And I can put them on my... show reel.
Definitely, yeah.
But there are some accents that I won't do, but I feel as though if someone says, definitely say this in Irish or Bristol or Australian.
I think they're fine, and you've already shown that it's within your range.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, still to come on the Confessions podcast, we head to one of the first cremations in Portugal for the Confessions from the Crypt, and there's some bed hopping, I'm afraid. In Martin's tale, The Bed's Too Big, With or Without You. But not before Thomas's confession, Brothers in Arms.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Father Simon and the ever congenial collective of Hard to Please Holly, Steadfast Susie, Perpetual Forgiver Matt.
Yes.
My confession has burdened me for over 30 years and it's time to seek forgiveness. Cast your minds back to the summer of 1992. I'd been employed by then British Rail for 9 years. My official title was Traction and Rolling Stock Maintenance Engineer, commonly called a fitter and occasionally a turner. My job involved repairs and servicing of freight railway locomotives in every aspect, from the windows to the wheels and everything in between.
Okay.
So that's what he did. Thoroughly enjoyed my work and it was... a huge source of satisfaction when the vehicle you'd nursed back to life went back into service, and it was also a great source of banter. And we had some jolly japes.
I'll bet.
Mm-hmm. About which we're about to focus. Part of my work involved inspections underneath the locomotives after descending a few steps into a pit. With torch and clipboard in hand, a walkthrough was performed, as you would see in an... like an MOT inspector would do on a family car, day in, day out at your local garage, but on a much bigger scale. So on a regular basis, we would set up, to frighten, a new starter apprentice as a kind of welcome to the job type thing. It was always met with an exclamation of, you guys, you got me, with a few expletives occasionally. Mm-hmm. I was assigned the jobs for my shift, and accompanying me today was new starter Edward, lovely guy, very studious, clever, already showing promise to be a highly skilled tradesman. Edward had been to other smaller workshops, but it was his first day in the big league. He was slightly overawed by our depot, marvelling at the huge, powerful locomotives and the large scale of engineering. He was very excited, and his youthful joy was great to see. Sadly, that would diminish very soon. That's my fault. Locomotive number 37234 was having a B exam, which needed an underframe inspection as part of the job. I left Edward in the canteen and made a quick visit to the loo to set everything up. When I returned, I explained to Edward that we had to go down into the pit to inspect the underframe, the wheels, and that kind of thing. I told him to be very careful of protruding items and the low headroom in places. Safety always, that's what we used to say, mm-hmm. Father Simon. Mm-hmm. Also, I said to be very vigilant and to look out for anything untoward on the underframe assembly. At this point in the story, it would be remiss if I didn't add a very important factor to this torrid tale. Unbeknownst to Edward, this inspection was a foursome. I had two accomplices. First, Percy, a very experienced locomotive electrician who was hidden away behind a large tool locker, topside, adjacent to said locomotive, holding a large length of near-invisible fishing line. The finishing line ran from Percy across a walkway and disappeared in the dirt and darkness of the locomotive bogey, where it was attached to the fourth and most important member of the team, Armander, who was a shop window mannequin's arm, which was splashed with red paint and dirt and was perched strategically and precariously on a ledge. Dear. Below locomotive 37234, myself and Edward were in the pit progressing the examination. He was in charge of the torch and was excitedly pointing out any problems, and I was recording them on my clipboard. We'd reached the target point in the pit. Edward, being a keen new starter, was engrossed in the lower workings of this iron leviathan. I took a slight step back so Edward could stand underneath the as-yet-unseen, finally balanced appendage and let the signal words ring out, "Leaking flange!"
Of course. Yeah.
Memorable words. Then Percy, with a tug of utmost precision, released the crimson-adorned appendage and let gravity do its work. With the skill of a test match wicketkeeper, Edward caught the plastic prosthetic. I waited for the usual shriek and laugh, oh, you guys. But no guffaws or laughter rang out. Not from Edward. He let out a blood-curdling scream, with unrepeatable expletives rolling off his tongue, and with his face contorted and eyes widened, he very quickly launched the arm as if it was scorching hot skyward. Unfortunately, with zero headroom, it immediately rebounded off a protruding pipe flange, not leaking, and he incurred a plastic index finger in his left eye. Ooh. It was then the prank took a turn for the worse.
Oh, right.
Edward decided to make a run for it. Now, this hot-footing manoeuvre would have been okay in a different environment, but underneath a 110-ton railway vehicle with lots of sticky outbits, a slippery floor and undulating headroom, running was very dangerous, and Edward's head immediately struck the side of number one fuel tank, and it let out an awful thud. He then tried to run in the other direction, and he struck number two fuel tank. Again, a terrible thud. By now, I realised we'd slightly overcooked the prosthetic prank and stepped in to wrestle Edward to a standstill with a reverse bear hug, like a Heimlich manoeuvre midriff grasp, sustaining an accidental headbutt myself, which I probably deserved, and eventually brought Edward to a relative stop. He was trembling and breathing heavily. I slowly walked him out of the pit, desperately trying to avoid him hitting any more metal protuberances. Safety first, as always. Percy's belly laughing came to an abrupt end when he saw Edward covered in oil, dirt and grease, and a lot of blood. The real stuff, not the signal red paint. Father Simon, I do need to ask for forgiveness, please, from Edward and approximately 20 other new starters, some fresh out of school, some advanced and into adulthood, for such wickedness in a below-ground-level railway environment. I eagerly await your judgment. Hopefully it'll be just and fair. Well, I've got no idea whether it's going to be just and fair, but Susie's going to take a dim view and Matt will forgive. This is my prediction.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. But what do you say to Thomas, the ex-fitter and occasional turner?
Well, Thomas, I don't forgive you because the thing that gets me is when people say, oh, it's just a bit of banter or a jolly jape and isn't it fun?
You
and
lads.
It's not. It's just another word for being mean. And this is a pure example. Danger can happen. Not funny at all, I'm afraid, Thomas. Or your friend Percy. You can go back to where you came from.
Oh, well,
not forgiven.
A prank underneath a 100-ton railway vehicle is a dangerous thing. Brother Matthew.
I mean, I'm not a massive fan of pranks normally. Or indeed in this case. And I mean, danger can happen, as Susie pointed out there. That said, I mean, you know, it was pretty funny. And also, what's he doing? What's Edward doing running around? Why are you running around? Oh, that's not helping. Throwing the arm in the air isn't going to help. And running up the train, running up the hill, as Kate Bush said. And nice use of the word flange. Not used enough on Greatest Hits. Leaking flanges, more of them on Greatest Hits, I think. So for that reason, I'm going to give.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession, yeah, kind of PG territory, I think. Mm. Comes from Martin. Thank you, Martin. Now, there is a there's a cast list that goes...
Oh, really?
Goes,
ooh, wow.
Yeah.
I haven't known that for a while.
Simon, Matt and the Forgiveness Collective. My sorry tale goes back to a long-forgotten time of over 30 years ago. But before I go into detail, I think I need to introduce you to those involved so that everything makes sense. There's myself, Martin, uh-huh. My wife, Debbie, her dad, Les, his eventual wife, Anne, my longtime friend and colleague, Carol, and her at the time newly found partner, Joe. It doesn't really matter if you can't remember the cast list, but all will become clear.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine.
You can draw a little map in your book there. So this tale took place late September 1990, a week or so after my 30th birthday. During my birthday celebrations, Carol and Joe had first met and got together and decided that they wanted to see each other again. Now, Carol lived in Newcastle and Joe in Sawtrey near Peterborough, not too far from us. So it was decided that they would meet again at our house for the weekend. That's me and Debbie.
Yes. Yeah.
Same time, Les and Anne planned to stay with us as a late birthday celebration. So we had to think about sleeping arrangements in our house for the weekend. Debbie decided that due to his age... Les and Anne should have our double bed.
Uh-huh.
We'd sleep on the bed settee in the spare room. And Carol and Joe could squeeze into a single bed in the third bedroom. So we're all set and ready to go. On the Saturday, once everyone had arrived and got settled in their respective rooms, and we'd had tea, we all headed out to the local pub to continue the celebrations. As I'm sure most of your listeners will recall, the 90s were heady days of pub lock-ins, long before extended opening hours, and sure enough, we had a lock-in at the pub that night. At some stage in the wee small hours, we all left and set off back home, eventually leaving Carol and Joe behind as they continued to get to know each other better.
Mm-hmm.
When we got home, they were still nowhere to be seen, so we left the front door open, I mean not open, but unlocked, and yeah. Set off to our respective beds, where I promptly fell into a drunken slumber. Sometime later, I woke and needed to go to the loo, so I went to the bathroom. This was before the days of en-suites. I don't think it was, but anyway. But found the toilet door was locked. So, slightly puzzled, I headed back to bed, intending to try again later. However, I dozed off once more. The next thing I was aware of was a female voice just behind me saying, "Here, Les, move over. I've no room here." This was followed by a male voice just on the other side of me saying, "I can't, I'm at the edge of the bed already." I can say in all honesty that I've never sobered up as quickly as I did
then.
I realised that the female voice behind me was Anne and the male next to me was my father-in-law,
okay.
Les.
Hey.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I was in my double bed, naked, in between my father-in-law and his wife-to-be.
Oh, boy.
Obviously, I didn't say anything. I just froze in a state of panic, began thinking how I could escape without creating any sort of a scene. Now, in my thoughts, I couldn't climb over them to get out. That would have taken some explaining had they woken up. So I decided to crawl down between them to get out at the bottom of the bed,
never thinking
that in the process of doing so, I might come face to face with parts of their anatomy that I'd rather not see.
Oh,
so,
no.
Eyes tightly shut, I managed to escape without seeing anything untoward and without waking anyone. Needless to say, I didn't manage much more sleep that night as I lay on the bed settee trying to come to terms with what had just happened, eventually working out that when I'd got up to go to the loo, Anne must have been in there, but rather than go back to Debbie on the bed settee, I'd gone back to my normal bed.
Of course.
And snuggled up with her dad by mistake. In the morning when everyone was up and about, I asked Les and Anne if they'd slept well. To which Les replied that he had, but Anne complained that Les had been on her side of the bed most of the night. Little realising that it had, in fact, been me. I'd gotten away with it, presumably because they'd both had as much as I had to drink. I did eventually pluck up the courage to tell them both what had happened. Les was quite nonplussed, and Anne told me not to worry, as she hadn't had her glasses on anyway. Thanks, Anne. So I can't really seek forgiveness from them. I do, however, seek forgiveness from Carol and Joe for taking the edge off their first night together. From Debbie for causing her many awkward moments in the days and weeks after, as I recounted this tale to other friends at the time. And from my daughters, Katie and Beth, who were both mortified when they heard what had happened. Sadly, Les and Joe no longer with us, but I'm sure they would smile at this. So if I was also forgiven by yourselves in the studio, I would think that I could finally be able to sleep peacefully at night in my own bed, under the right circumstances. Yours in hope, lots of love. Yours sincerely, Martin. I mean, the idea of ending up in bed naked with your father-in-law and his future wife really doesn't bear thinking about. Yeah. But anyway, that was the tale. What do you say, Suze?
Martin, the issue I have here is you had lots of house guests, you know, and you still decided to sleep naked. Like, what if you need to go for a wee? What are you going to do? You just run to the toilet with clothes on?
Yes, that's what he did.
Put some pyjamas on when you've got house guests.
Cover it up, man.
For goodness sake, cover up. And for that reason, I just can't forgive you, because I just think it's just not good enough.
Also, always drink responsibly. Don't end up in that kind of situation where is that my father-in-law? Sorry about that. What do you say, Brother Matthew?
Well, I'm going to forgive, even though I completely agree with Susie. What on earth is this thing about being in bed naked? Makes that, and particularly when you've got guests. But anyway, it's far too fanciful and continental for my taste to be in bed naked. So I'm probably going to forgive. And also, actually, the person whose fault it was the person locking themselves in the toilet in the middle of the night. That sounds a bit dodgy.
Also, licensing laws.
It was locks all over the place, wasn't it? That was what the real problem was. So that and naked people in bed. So for that reason,
yes,
I'm going to forgive.
It's a very strange reaction to naked people in bed, I think.
I think I'm very much in tune with the British public once again. I think everyone's nodding along with me.
Is that right?
Yeah. Don't have any more naked people in
bed. Martin's confession prompted another anonymous confession via text. We don't get many, obviously, which just says, Simon, I have to forgive. And I have to confess, I've done the same thing when I was about 22. I got into bed with my mum and her husband naked.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
From that text, I'm not sure who is naked. Was everybody? No.
No, surely not.
If in doubt, put some clothes on. Yeah. Martin did get back in touch, by the way, to say, please let everyone know that I've never owned any pyjamas in my life. And I do now pop some boxers on if we have anyone staying
overnight. So he's still doing it?
No, but he wears boxers, but he doesn't.
But only when they've got company.
Yeah. I also don't believe that, you know, everyone has pyjamas when they're kids, aren't they?
Yes. But everyone has pyjamas now, don't they? I think so.
Not for Martin.
Please.
Right, time to revisit the past. A confession from the crypt. This request came from Jamie. Simon, I've recently started catching up on the GHR Confessions podcast. I'm absolutely loving it and enjoying everything about it, especially you.
Especially you.
Because you're my favourite. Yeah. For the Confession from the Crypt, can I please request one from the first year or two at Greatest Hits Radio? The confession I'd love to hear again is the one that took place at a funeral, where one person had this portable CB radio that accidentally caused interference with the PA system and freaked out some of the attendees. I do remember this. This is such a great confession and a joy, dear. Thank you very much, Dee, for reading. And I hope to hear that confession again soon. Jamie from Peckham. Thank you, Jamie. Well, we've successfully converted it from a disc, a graphite disc, which we dug out from the cellar. And we've turned it into a lovely new funky WAV format. So here's Jose's confession, fun to funky.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's confessions.
Comes from Jose. Well, let's just say it comes from Jose, shall we? And there's two things to say. First of all, he gets straight to it. There's none of that.
Really?
Father Simon, back in the day, I remember. Do you remember when I turned on the radio and there was Slade and all that kind of stuff? There's none of that. Oh, right. He gets straight to it.
Okay, good for him.
And it's sort of slightly, it's not broken English, but it's clearly, you know, Jose's thinking about it. Okay, so here we go. Jose says, Father Simon and his team of sinners, I must start my confession by telling you I am from Portugal. And I came to the UK around 18 years ago. This confession relates to the earlier 1980s, however, when I was still living in Portugal. This is the beginning of the first cremations back in Portugal. So we're back into the...
Okay.
I told you it's got straight to it.
Yeah.
straight to the funeral groove.
The first of the cremations.
Cremations back in Portugal. There were no specific and dedicated crematoriums. Cremations were done in specific areas of just a few cemeteries and with some rustic equipment. A big contrast to today's reality. Anyway, it's a little... okay. It's a bit of a grim start.
I mean, rustic equipment... Okay.
Also at the time, it was not very common to do cremations as people had a strong sense of tradition in Portugal and that meant the relatives had to be buried. So apart from being, at the time, rare to do cremations, it was also, in some cases, a bit hit and miss as equipment sometimes failed. I mean, this is making a lot of people very nervous.
Okay.
Things just went a bit awry, says Jose. If you walk now, this is where we take another left turn. Oh. If you remember, around this time, it was also very common for people to have CB radios.
Oh, yeah.
Citizen band in the car. Mm-hmm. Mobile radios that everyone used with pride. Breaker 19, this is Rubber Duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben. Come on. As we didn't say in Lisbon.
Definitely didn't.
It was, says Josie, the kind of Facebook or Twitter of the era. I had a CB radio station and my call sign was Fire. And everywhere I went, I took my portable CB radio with me. So then, I'm afraid to say, I received some bad news, and that was that a dear friend of mine had passed away, and of course, I was going to go to the ceremony. I arrived early, and after some queries, I was directed to the correct area of the cemetery. There was another service going on at the moment with another family going through the service. I stayed a while to see what to expect because I hadn't seen one before. And then I realized that the service for my friend would start in a few moments. So I decided to fill the time by using my CB radio. Why not? I could see if anyone else was online.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like we didn't say. Anyway, I never went anywhere without it. So I stretched the antenna against the wall of the crematorium. You might remember it was always a very long wire when it was in place. Anyway... So when the aerial was up, I started to call on the Channel 11, and that was the general call channel. That's where you went if you just wanted to say hello to people. Of course, all the following was in Portuguese, but I'm translating it for the benefit of your listeners.
Okay.
What I said into Channel 11 went like this. Hello, hello, anyone there? This is Fire. Can anyone hear me? Anyone there? I repeated this a few times with some space between the calls to see if someone will reply to my request. Hello, hello, anyone there? This is Fire. Can anyone hear me? Come on. Then it happened. From inside the building, all hell broke loose. I started to see people running. I saw people screaming. Some looked as if they'd seen a ghost. Relatives were holding on to each other. Panic everywhere. So quickly, I switched off my CB radio, put it back in the clip on my belt under my coat. I ran to the scene, tried to calm people down, as well as I tried to make out some sense of what was going on. After some time, I managed to get one explanation, and that brings me to my confession. Apparently, as the coffin was sliding into the crematorium vault, my CB radio interfered with the audio system. Family and friends of the deceased, as the coffin was going in, heard this voice saying, "Hello? Anyone there? This is Fire. Can anyone hear me? Anyone there? Come on." So all the mourners were convinced that the deceased was not dead and was calling for help because there was fire. One of the relatives even said to me, "It's amazing he's speaking English because of the, word fire." Anyway, obviously, I didn't mention the fact that I had been on my CB radio and it was me. I tried to calm people then at that moment, but they were starting to be angry with the workers at the crem because they wanted the crematorium stopped because clearly the guy in the... He was shouting through the speakers. Anyway, I calmly went out of there and until today have never said a word about this. Of course, the offer of a smart speaker made me confess, says Josie. But I hope that no one listens to Greatest Hits in Portugal. I don't know. I'm sure they do. And that there is no one from that particular family living here. I look for forgiveness, not from the family, but from the deceased for causing an uproar at his or her funeral. And also the family of my friend, because I ended up not getting to his service, what with all the fuss and bother that I had caused at the other one. And that's from Jose. So we're back in the funeral groove, but it's an unusual tale of the early stages of the crematorium movement in Portugal, marrying in an unfortunate way with the CB radio stretched across the actual hall from outside. Sister Susie speaking from the pub.
Well, Jose, I do you know what? I had a CB radio. I found it in my dad's garage and I did use it and I do like it, but there is a time and a place. And I'm not sure the crematorium was the time and the place to get your portable CD radio out and have a go. So for me, I'm afraid, not forgiven on this occasion.
Brother Matthew.
I think we all tend to forget this, that, you know, it was a big deal at the time to have a CB radio. And I'm sure if you had one, you were trying to use it at every opportunity. So, and it always feels to me like the 80s was the golden era for confessions because of CB radios. The number of great confessions we've had because of CB radio. So it is for that reason I'm gonna forgive, and also because he's asking for forgiveness from the deceased. And I would argue probably bigger fish to fry for the deceased. I would have thought. I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
There's no doubt that the whole funeral vibe groove is always very rich territory for confessions.
Definitely fertile territory.
Going to the wrong one. You know, the priest pressing the wrong button.
Being told to say something about the deceased when you didn't know who they were.
There you go.
That
brings us back to the assembly. You don't get a priest at the beginning of a funeral saying, "Shall we have a quiz?"
No.
Do you?
No, you don't.
I mean, if they did, that wouldn't be very appropriate.
No, we'd have to take Father Giles aside and say, "Not now."
Is that like Farmer Giles?
It is a little, isn't it?
Farmer Giles has left his farm
and
become
twist.
A priest.
He's become a priest, hasn't he?
Anyway, if you have a confession, whether it's got a funeral in it or not, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Also, just having a priest in there has comedy potential. Over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes. So this week's secret code phrase is vigorous talks from the Bible. Okay. Vigorous talks from the Bible.
If you've listened this far, tweet me at Simon Mayo. That's X, Twitter, that kind of thing. Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads, also on Blue Sky.
Straight away in the Blue Sky.
Finally, don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe, and send cash.
Don't forget to send cash. That's really important.
That was a mistake. It just came out. Keep telling everybody that Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast is back. Until next time, from the pub, Sister Susie.
Ta-ta.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew.
Goodbye.
And thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Wanna confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Oh, yes, and also, before you switch off, Monday to Friday, like live on the radio, you know, 4 till 7.
4 till 7.
I mean, come on. There's so much joy to be had.